Arts Connection, the intersection of faith and the arts in Canadian culture, with your host, Robert White. Now, here's Robert.
Welcome to Arts Connection for Thursday, January 26th, 2012.
Escape from reality. Open your eyes, look up to the skies and see.
Ooh. I'm just a poor boy. I need no sympathy.
Because I'm easy come, easy go, little high, little low.
Killed a man, put a gun against his head, pulled my trigger, now he's dead. Mama, life had just begun. Down my spine, body's aching all the time. Goodbye, everybody. I've got to go. Gotta leave you all behind and face the truth.
Well, in case you think you tuned into the wrong radio station, that was Down Here vocalist Mark Martel singing Queen's Bohemian Rhapsody, accompanied by the Renaissance Band from Renaissance Church in Summit, New Jersey in 2007. Mark will be singing this song a lot more now that he's been selected as one of the performers in the production of Queen Extravaganza that will be touring later this year. Mark's on the phone with us tonight to talk about his Queen Extravaganza experience. Good evening, Mark.
Good evening.
Now, let's backtrack a bit for some listeners who might need to catch up on this news, although I'm not sure how many people out there haven't heard. But how did you find out about the whole Queen Extravaganza contest in the first place?
Well, a friend of mine in Nashville here discovered it somehow and thought it was a perfect fit for me, since everybody who's heard me sing pretty much has compared me to Freddie Mercury. And so he sent me the link, and I checked out what the vision behind it was, and I saw that it was actually officially, you know, done by Roger Taylor, Queen's drummer. So this is more than just, you know, your average any other tribute band, which there are a lot of out there,
yep,
all over the world, and the whole vision behind it was to kind of counteract the cheesy Queen tribute bands and have Queen kind of put out their own band on the road, kind of sanctioned and, you know, have their blessing and everything. And so when I saw that, I thought, wow, this is perfect, and I'm kind of looking for something, you know, a little different next year, because my band is taking some time off the road, so I'm going to need to supplement that income somehow, and the timing couldn't have been more perfect. So, yeah, that's how it all started.
So did it take a lot of thought and prayer for you to actually finally say yes to this, or was it something you sort of thought, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and do it fairly quickly?
Yeah, I actually had to prayed about it. I thought some wisdom about it. You know, not only was it, you know, the fact that it's mainstream music, it's secular music, you know, I just didn't want anything to affect my band regularly, in a negative way. I love what I do with Down Here. It's been a privilege for these last 11 years we've been together, and I hope that, you know, we can go on for a lot longer. And so I realize that my actions not only affect my life, but the lives of three other guys and potentially more people. And so I prayed about it. I talked to my manager about it, and most importantly, talked to my wife about it. Sought out the Lord and really made sure that this wasn't something that had obvious red flags and I didn't feel comfortable with. And even to the point after I'd recorded my first audition video, I was sitting on the couch with my wife in my living room saying, I was even second-guessing myself to that point. I was like, I don't know if I want to do this. I don't want to sound arrogant, but I really felt like they were looking for three singers, so I felt like I had a really good shot of landing at least one of those positions. So I was sitting next to my wife, and I said, I don't know if I can do this. And she said, Mark, you're crazy. This has got you written all over it. And she was very encouraging, and so I went for it.
Well, did you talk to the other guys in the band as well?
No, I didn't, actually, for some reason. I mean, we were, you know, like I said, we're taking some time off the road next year, and it's like kind of every man for himself kind of thing. It's like... The other guys are finding work elsewhere. And for me, I was like, well, this is what I'm going to do.
Now, that whole thing, you mentioned your first audition tape, and that was Somebody to Love. And I mean, that just went ballistic. You had 5.5 million hits on YouTube, interviews galore, The Wall Street Journal, National Post, a guest shot on Ellen. Are you still recovering from that whole experience?
Not really. All that has really died down. I mean, and it's kind of funny how... when this all started, I was like, oh, I bet this is going to be like a 15 minutes of fame thing. And I feel like I've seen enough people go through it that it's like, you know, you're center of attention for, a couple weeks, and then it's kind of over. And that's really what's gone on. I mean, and I don't say that in a negative way, in a sad way or anything like that. It's just like, well, yeah. I mean, it was really crazy for a couple weeks, especially, you know, flying out to L.A. and being on Ellen and getting all that attention. It's really a strange feeling being the center of attention like that. I kept telling people that it felt like an out-of-body experience, just walking around my house, and, you know, everyone's coming out of the woodwork, and I'm getting accosted for interviews left and right, and it's so weird because people have been telling me that I sound like Freddie Mercury for almost 10 years now, and I never realized that it was such a big deal, apparently... It struck a nerve, I guess, but now it's really died down. I'm doing occasional interviews, it might pick up again once the tour starts next summer, but for now, I'm kind of like in the calm before the storm, I guess.
Yeah, well, and I mean, the other thing is, too, is that when the final news came out, it was just before Christmas, so I think people had their mind on other things at that point in time, too.
That's possible, too. Yeah, you never release an album right before Christmas. Actually, you do. No, that's a, never mind.
Yeah, that's if it's a Christmas album, that's a good time to do it.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, what I need to do is take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll be talking to our guest, Mark Martel, about the whole live audition process, which was judged in part by Queen's drummer Roger Taylor. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM, your inspiration station.
The life you chose, there's never a list for it of cons and pros. You find what you love and you commit. You're looking so far down the road so well, you could forget your crown isn't just somewhere else. You get bumped and bruised and worse, but choosing the road less traveled, you know the reward is rich if you persist through the darkest battles. You open your eyes, your prize is right before you. Somehow, whatever you do, just don't miss now. Bus as the miles and months fly by to the rest of us. You're living the highest kind of life. I know the price you pay is costlier than it seems, but it's worth another day. The end justifies the means. You get bumped and bruised and worked for choosing the road less traveled. You know the reward is rich if you persist through the darkest battles. Open your eyes, your prize is right before you somehow. Whatever you do, just don't miss now.
That was Don't Miss Now from the newest Down Here CD, On the Altar of Love, featuring the vocals of tonight's guest, Mark Martel. And now back to our conversation with Mark. Let's go back to that whole audition. I mean, the whole process was you had the audition tape. That was once that was judged by a few people. Then it went into a fan favorite competition, and then the final thing was an actual live audition in front of Roger Taylor and a couple other people that have been associated with Queen for a number of years. What was it like for you to walk into it was the Goo Goo Dolls practice studio, if I recall correctly, and see all the other competitors?
It was the Foo Fighters studio in
Foo
LA.
Foo Fighters, sorry.
Everybody, there were 25 finalists, including me, and they put us up in a hotel there, and they bussed us over to the studio in the morning, and it was pretty wild. I mean, not wild in the sense that, you know, it was like a party atmosphere or anything like that, but it was just kind of surreal. It was kind of like that mixed with the feeling that I was in a job interview. So it was kind of a you know, two worlds kind of colliding. You know, it's like I've never really applied for a job since I was a teenager, and this is kind of what I'm doing right now, but it's got all this attention on it, and there's a lot of excitement, obviously, and the other contestants. Some of the other contestants, like, weren't even professional musicians or had never even done music at all, period. So I can't imagine being one of them.
Wow.
Being in this situation where it's totally this crazy, you know, I'm in Los Angeles and I'm from like the Boondocks, where, you know, wherever it may be that they're from, and I'm about to meet Roger Taylor, and, you know, from my favorite all-time band. I can't imagine. I was more excited for them than I was for myself. It was just like fun watching them kind of go through the whole thing.
What was it like when I watched some of the video from that, and Roger Taylor came out and talked to everybody who was there, and what was it like for you when he came out and started talking to the people in the audition room?
I'm not really one of those people. I, you know, I've been starstruck, you know, less than a handful of times in my life. But when he came out, it was just like, oh, well, here's this guy, and he's, you know, sold 300 million records, and he's really down to earth, and he just seems really excited. I don't know Roger, but from the body language he was kind of putting out, it kind of seemed like he had this nervous excitement for the day. Like he had this crazy idea a few months ago, and suddenly it was starting to come to fruition. And it was kind of funny. It was fun watching kind of the look in his eye. And but he's kind of a quieter guy from what I can tell. And he was kind of, you know, pretty chill about it. When he came upstairs into the lounge where all the artists were hanging out all day, once or twice during that day, just to say a few important words and thank us for being there. So we didn't really get to see him very much other than when we were actually auditioning in the studio. And then there's one or two times he came up to speak to us, address us completely as a group. It's not like if you're asking how I felt, like I wasn't nervous or anything. It was just fun to be there. It was an exciting time. So very unique. Like, who gets to experience something like that? So it was a fun day.
Yeah. Now, in terms of this whole thing and getting into it, how did you keep yourself spiritually focused in all of this, especially when you're doing the audition and you're listening to the others and stuff? And not allow it to become, you know, this continue to be this out-of-body experience.
Well, I think that if you look at the timing of this whole thing from my life, it couldn't come at a more perfect time. And not only is just the timing of taking time off this year with the band, but as far as looking back at the last 10 years, 11 years, you know, the struggles that we've gone through as a band, the highs and lows, there's been so many learning experiences, spiritual learning experiences, you know, spiritual strengthening experiences, and I really believe that that God has been preparing me for this sort of thing. And I'm really, really looking forward to being in an environment where I'm not surrounded by Christians, to tell you the truth. You know, I grew up in Montreal, which is a part of Canada which is very unchurched. It's about as churched as any place in Europe that you'd find. So I'm you know, I kind of feel at home in an environment where I sort of stick out as a believer. And when I mean stick out, you know, all you have to do where I'm from is not swear, and people start asking questions. You know, they're like, well, Martel, why don't you swear? Well, let me tell you, here's why. And so I'm really looking forward to being in that environment again. I really feel prepared. I thought I might, for the first time ever, it's something I've been wanting to do for years, but actually do one of those read through the Bible plans. I think that would definitely not hurt. But other than that, you know, it's not like I'm really changing my habits. I know that people will be praying for me. I know people have been praying for me for years. So that's going to keep going, and I just hope to, you know, represent Christ in all that I do.
Now, when did you, after going through the whole audition process and they split you up into small bands to perform and stuff like that, what was it like during that actual audition when you were actually doing the music part?
It was actually really loud at first. It wasn't like an ideal performance. I guess to try to avoid musician speak, but in-ear monitor mixes were not ideal. You know, the amps were blazing. The drums were right there. We didn't have in-ear monitors like I'm used to. So I guess I'm kind of pampered that way with down here. But it was pretty rock and roll. They ushered us into the studio portion of the building, and Roger was behind the glass with his team. And his stage manager guy would come out and say, all right, now you guys perform your three songs and, you know, go. So we had never played together. We know that we all knew the same songs. We all knew the same three songs. We had them all prepared, you know, drums, the guitar players, bass player, keyboardists, singers. And so basically the drummer started the song and away we went with the three songs. And, you know, for a group of people who have never performed together or even played a note together, let alone, it was pretty fantastic. It was a lot of fun. And then the second round, they mixed us up into different bands. And that was kind of a free-for-all. Like, whatever we knew, besides the first three songs that we had prepared, they asked us, well, what other songs do you guys know? And we'd kind of look at each other, well, do you know this or do you know that one? I know this one. And we kind of scrounged up together, you know, a decent version of one of their other songs that no one had prepared. It was just kind of like we hung out in the studio for a few minutes, and I kind of felt like they were just behind the glass saying, let's see what these guys can do. This is very exciting, you know. And I felt like they were really excited to be there, Queen's team.
Yeah.
It was fairly short. The actual time we spent in the studio, most of the day, I'd say like 85% of the day was spent hanging out in the artist lounge, just kind of nervously waiting to be called on.
Well, I need to take a final break, and we'll be right back with our guest, Mark Martel. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM, your inspiration station.
From the corner of my eye, there's a tear I'm trying to cry, but the feeling can't be found. Like a note thrills in a song, when I play it again, it's gone, 'cause it was never in the sound, and it keeps me warm.
one to stay, one to depart. The sad, tragic kingdom. And it burns me down to the core. Because I know there's so much more. It's just a pale reflection.
Welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to My Last Amen from Down Here's Ending Is Beginning CD. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to finish up our conversation with Mark Martel. Mark, take us back to when you finally heard the news about getting a spot on the tour. Where were you and what was going on?
I was on a layover in Minneapolis. I was going from L.A. to Montreal. I had a show in Montreal immediately after that final audition. And during my layover, my manager, Chris, gave me a call, and he said, "You're the guy." And, it wasn't like this big celebration for me inside. It was more like this relief of knowing that next year is sort of taken care of, and schedule-wise and financially. I've got a mortgage. I'm putting a wife through school, and So this is really like provision for me in a really exciting way. I think the biggest feeling I had was relief and that's about it.
What was your wife's reaction when you connected with her and let her know what was going on?
Oh, I don't think she had any doubt. I think she reacted even less than I did. But she's like, "Oh yeah, that's great, honey. I knew, not like a big surprise." So
yeah.
Like, "Oh, really? All right. Cool."
Well, so what's next for Queen Extravaganza? How does it work out now for you?
Right now it's just kind of the calm before the storm. The rehearsals will begin, I believe, in late April or May, something like that. And they're going to be pretty extensive rehearsals, and we're not sure where they're going to happen yet, probably either L.A. or Nashville. And then after that, I guess the tour heads out of it. I think they're booking it right now as we speak. And I don't know how long exactly. It's kind of funny how little I know exactly what my summer's going to look like. All I know is I'm going to somehow be involved in this Queen Extravaganza thing, singing Queen songs. For how long, I don't know, like a month or 3 months. I think a lot depends on how, the first few shows go and how successful it is. A lot remains to be seen.
Any ideas of stops in Canada?
You know what? I'd be really surprised if we don't go to Canada.
Good.
Especially since we have three Canadians in the group.
Yep.
And the fact that they had such iconic concerts, Queen did, like the Montreal one. I'd be really surprised. I wouldn't be surprised, honestly. I don't take my word for it, but if we started the tour in Canada.
Well, I know that the guitarist is a fellow that played "We Will Rock You" in Toronto when it was in Toronto. So hopefully, there's a Toronto stop in there.
Absolutely, like I said, wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah. Now, Down Here is still going strong. In fact, you're going to be in Waterloo on January 27th. Any other dates in this area?
I want to say Mississauga the next day or something like that.
Yep.
I know we have two shows in Ontario, and then we fly out to Edmonton after that. So just check our website.
Yeah.
It'll be up there.
And that's the Journey to JAMA event. What's that all about?
Say again?
The Journey to JAMA event, that's with World Vision?
Oh, yeah. That's a new thing that World Vision is doing. They've put together this really cool movie that they're going to show that night. It's a new thing they're trying, you know, besides, instead of just having a band or just having a movie showing, they're trying to do a combination thing. And obviously it's an appeal for sponsoring children, because that's what World Vision does, and they do it really well. And I haven't seen this movie yet. I'm looking forward to seeing it. I'll probably see it for the first time with the audience in Waterloo. So they're going to show this movie that they made over in Africa. We're gonna play afterwards, and we'll see how that goes. It's gonna be a fun night.
Any plans to add Queen songs to your set list?
We might add one. We're not sure yet.
How can people keep up with Queen Extravaganza?
The Queen Extravaganza website's usually a pretty good place. You know, whenever they put up news, they haven't put up news for a while now since the last audition. But when the tour gets going, look for it to come in your place, and I'm sure the queenextravaganza.com will be the place to go to see if we're coming in anywhere near you.
And Down Here's website, if they want to keep up with that?
Absolutely, downhere.com. Yeah.
Mark, thanks for your time.
All right, appreciate it, Robert.
Thank you. And thank you for listening to Arts Connection today. Thanking my guest, Mark Martell. Be sure to tune in next week for another look at where faith, arts, and Canadian culture meet. For more information on Arts Connection, email robert@selawministries, that's S-E-L-A-W ministries.ca, or follow us on Twitter at selaw13, S-E-L-A-W-13. For Arts Connection, I'm your host, Robert White, saying good day and God bless.
You've been listening to Arts Connection, a production of Selav Ministries. Be sure to tune in again next Thursday evening at 10, right here on Faith FM.